Hey, welcome back to Season 4 of Pigeonhole Hockey, a participating member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is Chris, and today's co-host, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, hockey fans?
And you know us, we're just a couple of goalies that have taken one too many pucks at the head and do not claim to be hockey experts, but simply overzealous hockey fans that love to play, watch, read, and talk about hockey. On this episode, we want to welcome special guest, defender for the Carlton Place Canadiens of the CCHL, Garen Apperly. Garen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. How's it going?
We're doing good, man. How about you?
It's good, yep. Just got home a couple weeks ago and started work, started making some money now for summer, and excited to go to school next year.
All right, man. We're definitely going to be getting in, going to school and such, but as we kick it off here, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your hockey life.
I was born in Altona, Manitoba. Lived here pretty much my whole life, and then grew up playing hockey since I was three-ish. You know, grew up playing Altona minor hockey, and then moved up to Bantam AAA, Midget AAA. Then in my 17-year-old year, my rights got traded from Winkler to OCN, and I played about a year and a bit there. Got stuck in COVID for a little bit. Then got traded over to Wayways to Capo in the MJHL as well, and enjoyed about a year and a half there. Then finished off my junior career in Carlton Place.
Well, hold on. Right. Thank you for pronunciating that name of that city, because I wanted Chris to take the first crack at it because he's the best at this.
You mean Carlton Place?
Yeah, Carlton Place. Surprised you didn't give it a bad French name there, bud.
I'm good at that. Now he did mention OCN before we get into CP, because we do have a co-host on the podcast from Carlton Place, or coaches with Carlton Place. OCN. Why do they hate ending games in regulation?
I think it's just, I think a lot of games were in OCN, and I think it's always been a hard rink to play on. They play in a new rink now, but their fans are pretty diehard, and, you know, like, they're a hardworking team, and, like, they're hard to score on, but, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch sometimes when you want to go to bed, but...
Yeah, if you're trying to go to sleep, OCN is not the team to watch. They like their... Like me and Garrett were talking about 3 to 4 to 5 overtime games. I was watching a game here on the West Coast a couple weeks ago. And I specify, I was watching a game on the West Coast. I'd already started watching the OCN game because Loke Morin, playing in Vegas last year, is one of the goalies. Now, he wasn't playing his particular game, but I catch games when I catch games. And the game started. I watched a bit of it. Then the West Coast game started. And, of course, this game's in Manitoba. So it started a couple hours before the West Coast game. Started the West Coast game. That game went in overtime. Ended. And I noticed on Flow Hockey that I could still see OCN was live. And I'm like, oh, that's a glitch. No, when I clicked on it, they were at the tail end of a triple overtime on a game that I eventually fell asleep on at some point during fifth overtime. They're full periods, man. Full periods. This isn't like 5-minute periods.
Yeah. Yeah. Brutal. It's crazy. Yeah, I watched that game as well. I watched a couple games, and I think they had Dauphin in the first round, and same thing, overtime. It's kind of been the story of the playoffs this year in the MJHL. Just playoff game. It's good, though. Like, games are tight.
Do they cut off beer at the end of the second?
I'm not sure, actually.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
What are you talking about? They started serving breakfast and coffee. Yeah.
They started up the pancake grill.
They should. Honestly, I was stunned. There were still people in the crowd when I was watching fourth overtime start with my eyes getting heavy.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You got to remember the Islanders caps, man. Like, I remember being about 7 years old. And it was a school night, and my dad let us stay up. He's like, you've already gone through this much. You can't go to bed. And what was that triple overtime when they finally scored?
Are you talking about the one in, like, 2012?
Yeah, in and around. Oh, yeah. It was earlier than that.
You know,
that.
The funny thing about the thing, because I was in D.C., or I just left D.C. for England at that time. And
oh, no, it was way before that. Like, we're talking the classic, you know, brown pads.
You're talking back when you were a kid.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
No, I'm talking about 2012. Like, I was in D.C. for that game, or just moved to England out of D.C. because I lived in D.C. for about 5 years. And that game, one of the, I think, triple overtime. And the D.C. Metro had stopped operating at 2 o'clock. And so 20,000 people left the arena and they had no way home. The backlash was incredible. My buddy JB, who again, JB, I don't think JB listens to these, so I can take a shot at him. But he was born and raised in Paris, France, but then went to college in Nashville. He went to that game with his mom, who was visiting from Paris. I can't imagine having your older mom stuck in a game with you in triple overtime and then getting out of the game and realizing there's no way to get home. And that had to be absolutely brutal. But Steve, were you able to find your game we actually continue interviewing
Garrett? The Islanders Caps, 1987, man. It's a classic. It was called the Easter Epic, and Pat LaFontaine scored it in the fourth overtime.
My boy. All right. I like my Pat LaFontaine, but I don't remember watching games when I was that young.
Well, that one I couldn't forget it because my old man was like,
well, you
know,
were
it's
like
going overtime. You got to watch it. It's a game seven. And then at second overtime, my dad's like, oh, your mom's going to kill me. Third overtime, my dad's like, oh, your mom already hates me. So we might as well keep going. Fourth overtime, he's like, okay, you got to finish this off, boys.
You know why you remember that game. Maybe Garrett, back us up here, but like you watch hockey a little bit when you're a kid, but you don't really watch hockey. But then you hit that age where it really, you identify as that team you're rooting for, like 9, 10, 11 years old. No, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Ignore the dog barking in the background.
I'm a Bruins fan, so I started being a fan in like 2009, and then they won the cup.
Well, thanks for having us on the podcast, Garrett. We're going to wrap up.
But I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of transitioning into a Jets fan a little bit, seeing like the whiteout right now. And
well, it's hard not to get caught up in it, though, right?
So it was a great game last night. Great. Well, that game just, I swear to God that Colorado was going to come back. That game was insane.
Just to give you a heads up about the impact of the whiteout, I watched Wrexham, and they're now in the EFL League One. They just got promoted again. But one of their guys that's in Welcome to Wrexham a lot, Sean Winter, made a comment because he saw the Jets whiteout. And he goes, that's just crazy. I'm like, yeah. I didn't comment about the Coyotes, keeping the tradition, but I was there for games, and it's just crazy when you see the picture from the ice and you just see that blanket of white. Like, I don't care. Like, you could do the sea of red. There's just something about the white that you see up in that audience that just stands out. Yeah, it's awesome. So what a feeling.
Yeah, it's awesome. I want to get to. I probably won't get to see a game in the arena itself. But I'm gonna try and get to like the street party and the whiteout outside. So.
Yeah,
that's more fun, and it's free.
Oh, it's $10.
Was it free in Winnipeg?
No, chintzy Winnipeg. Yeah.
Yeah, they got to raise the money to snow plow and pave the streets somehow. All the mosquito repellent, right? It's got to come from somewhere.
It's for sure not going to potholes. That's for sure.
Montreal hold Winnipeg's beer. We got a challenger here.
Literally, yeah.
So what made you, like, because I always like going back to this. So what made you a Bruins fan?
I think it was like I don't know. I was young and stupid. I think I liked the colors and the logo. It's like, kind of got me into it.
It's fair.
I was always a bigger defenseman too. So I always liked watching Chara. Chara was one of my favorite players. And that old line of Bergeron, Marchand, growing up with those guys, it was hard not to be a fan.
I'm a Habs fan, right? So I can give teams credit when they got a good team. And they were just such a well-rounded team. And when they made their comeback the year they made the playoffs, Habs had them against the ropes. But I give all the credit to the management team of the Bruins, because if you go back to that series, we were picking you guys apart with the far shot off the pad and coming in and sniping it into the open corner. We were picking you guys apart, and then it was suddenly in game six, you guys went, nuh-uh, and you stopped it. What killed me was in game seven, though, big old boy, Travis Moen from your neck of the woods. Hey, look, I can't bag on an NHLer because they got way better hands than I do. But when he was the guy that came in twice and he could have put the game away, and it was that exact play, who was it? Brian Gionta. Two nice shots off the pads, almost perfect passes. And Moen, 2 feet off the ice, and then Thomas coming across and stopping him. But then the scouting report on Price back then, he would go down, drop his shoulder, and raise his glove. And you guys kept sniping him over top. And the Canadians never made the adjustment to that. And that was their undoing. And Carey Price the next year never made that mistake again. But it was, hey,
it's a close
quick
one.
Adjustment and then unstoppable after that.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus, Char was a son of a bitch.
You've got a memory, a hockey memory, like a vault, man.
Oh, like when you're into those games, like I was raging. Like anybody that was around me saw how pissed off I was. You got a team down 3-1 on the ropes, and you can't figure it out. You know.
Well, the Bruins were Game 7 merchant. Was that what year was that?
That was so we got. I don't know if you guys. It was the year after that. I think you guys took on the Leafs and you were down 3-1 and
yeah. Yeah, they're Game 7 merchants in that decade.
Yeah, they just kept coming at you, and Berge, you know, still like he should already be in the Hall of Fame coming this year. If he's not on the ballot, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think they should rename the Selke after him now.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's time to update some of the trophies. A few of the classic guys leave on there, but yeah, he just owned that position and so good all the way around. I'll be honest, I wasn't cheering for them to go far last year.
Because I
jumped on. I actually said it early on. I had the Panthers going to the Cup Finals. It was the one thing in my bracket that, you know, that withstood the test because I could just see them coming on at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and I still think they're scary.
I had Boston winning the Cup, so Florida destroyed my bracket.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's. But on the other side, I was just equally as screwed. Though the West crushed me.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Cheaters. And by the way,
oh my
goodness, now I understand why Jamie Benn was cross-checking Stone the way he was. Last year I was like, what an idiot move. But now this year, I get it.
Yeah, he knew in hindsight, yeah.
All right, so go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, so going back to the Bruins, and you said you're a bigger defenseman, who did you model your game after?
Kind of growing up, it was always Chara, and then... Once he hit like his last couple years, like I started watching a lot of Colton Pareko a lot too. I know he's had a little bit of a decline as well, but I think he's a good two-way player.
Yeah.
As much as I don't know if his stats are as great anymore, but I just like the way he plays a lot.
Oh, big physical, like Zadorov right now. That game against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
He was worth the trade for them because that's, you know, he's making Myers look better on the point. You know, and that was a fun game to watch. Like I spent my entire Sunday when I got home from my daughter's soccer. I skipped the Rangers Caps game to have a nap because I know where that one's going. Like that's a no-brainer. But I just dove right into all the games and like the Canucks game last night, like God, that was another fun one. The Predators. Like, did anybody have the Nashville Predators making the playoffs last year? Because I sure didn't.
Yeah. No. They always find a way too. Like they're always a sneaky good team.
Yeah, got a lot of good depth, and then you can't argue they're always good defensively, and they got some big players. So
yeah.
All right, so let's talk about. We'll go back to Carleton Place. So, what made you choose North Dakota to go to school, man?
Well, the school is only about 4 hours from my hometown, so it's close, but not too close. So, I like that little happy medium there.
That's a safe medium.
Yeah, exactly. Not too far, but not too close. But they just got an agricultural program there. So I'm taking agribusiness down there. And that was a big thing because not a lot of schools in the States actually have an agricultural like major. So it was kind of tough. I didn't know if I could find a place to play next year. And then Jamestown reached out to me and I looked at their website and they didn't have ag. So I was like, I texted the coach before, like, hey, do you guys have an egg? He said, yeah, we just got it this year. I was like, okay, sure, I'll hop on a call with you. So, yeah, talked for a couple months and then signed the papers end of January-ish.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, you're already used to the weather pattern, so that one's not going to phase you too much.
A little bit warmer by, like, a degree or two.
Yeah, maybe half a degree, yeah.
Yeah, maybe half a degree. Because when it gets cold there, it really doesn't matter. Once it starts dropping down to the negatives, it's a... You just stop doing math, plug in your car, and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, the wind's the worst part.
Yeah, the snow snakes. Wasn't a fan of them. I lived in North Dakota for about 3.5 years. Was very comfortable with that part of the country at that time. I was your age at the time frame. I was in that part of the world, so I could handle it. But I wasn't from there, you know? So yeah. I was used to snow, but I wasn't used to breathing hurting me. And in that part of the country, it definitely hurts you. But you got to play, like I said, you started this year in the MJ, and you ended up transferring or getting traded to the CCHL and Carlton Place Canadiens. What did you see about the difference between playing in the MJ versus going to the CCHL? Like any different style in gameplay, anything really noticeable that stood out to you?
Oh yeah, that like I thought it was two completely different games. And to be honest, I never really figured out the CC. So you can look at my stats too. I just got donuts when I went to CP, but it's just a lot faster, but less physical and a lot more stick work. Like you couldn't touch the puck without getting a stick in the hands or a stick in the leg there's always a stick on you in the CC. And whereas in the MJ, it's always you got a body on you, and you'll have a second, then you got a body on you. But it was very different in the physicality and the speed.
Okay, and what did you think of the coaching? We're pretty biased on the coaching in the CCHO.
Oh yeah, well we had we had some really good. I really like the coaches. All of my coaches in my junior career I've really enjoyed. And
the assistant coach is probably subpar though, right?
Yeah, there's maybe one that was, you know, subpar.
Well, that's the guy though that was teaching how to get away with the spear in the corner and then how to throw punch a guy without taking a major. So
well, he was a goon. He was a goon when he played hockey.
Yeah, that might be Sebby. Yeah. Oh, he was great. He was great. He was actually really one of the really positive guys and always had something to say too, which is good.
Yeah, we know that. We like taking our shots at him, but you know, that's what you got to do.
Well, I've always said this, when you look at a lot of coaches, sometimes your most successful ones were your grinders or the guys that played on the edge of the game, right? Because they understood the role players and the value of it, you know, besides the skilled players. And even with that, like if you're noticing the difference from going away from a body team to a stick game, that you just like I watched some of the NHL practices where literally it's a coach going over just the little fine details, right?
Yeah.
You know, a player coming in, you know how to attack the stick before he's even making a move for the puck, right? Yeah. And getting on you. So the big physical part is, you know, a huge part of the game because you want to punish somebody with a dump and chase when they're coming around your end, right?
Yeah.
But just those other little details are, you know, a good thing. So how do you find your experience with Carlton Place? How do you find that's going to impact your play in university?
I think it's going to help a lot. Like you got to be really strong on your stick to be able to play in that league. Like you got to always know that someone's going to come at your hands. It really prepares you for stronger hands, better hands. It makes you be a faster player because you can't be a slow player and play in the CCHL. You won't survive. And it makes you realize a lot of things that you need to work on and things you are good at. And yeah, I think it was huge for me, honestly.
All right. Now, what do you think was one of your highlights for playing for the Carlton Place Canadiens?
I forget what I don't. I think our coach Brent Sullivan. He's on the team for a couple years now, and he's never had a 4-game win streak. So we ended up going on like a 5-game win streak, maybe 6. So that was pretty big because I don't know if I've ever been on one like that either. And then obviously clinching playoffs because I'd also never been to the playoffs before in my junior career.
Nice. Nothing like going on a little bit of a streak, right? Jumping on the wagon and
right before playoffs too.
Yeah. Yeah, helps build confidence. How did you find your play in the first in your first round of the playoffs ever?
I felt like it was a similar game. Like it wasn't. I was expecting the physicality to ramp up a bit, which it did. But it felt like once you get in the game, it just feels like another game. That's what I thought of anyway. But yeah, I think we played good in our series there, but had some tough one-goal games. And we had an overtime game too, I think, or a double maybe. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it was good. I'm super glad I got to go there and be a part of a playoff experience.
Now, going to the physicality part, right, were you expecting it more to be like the NHL where the rule book gets tossed out and it's all mayhem?
No, I think I was just expecting it to be like I was expecting to be like, I was nervous like I was for my first junior game. Like you don't know what what it's going to be like, because you've never played that hockey before. You've never played a junior game, and you've never played a junior playoff game. So I was kind of nervous for that aspect. But then, like I said, once you get in the game, it's just another game.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, it was more like Casey Middlestead right now last night playing. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're recording this on Earth Day 2024, so April 22nd. But Casey Middlestead, after all of his years in the NHL, finally playing in his first playoff game with Colorado, because we know Buffalo doesn't make the playoffs. And he got a goal in his last first game. So
Didn't score? Like, I think the assistant coach has got...
The goalies. Hellebuck could have stepped up.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, there's got to be a goalie assist in there somewhere.
There probably is. We have to go back and look at the stats. But that's good to hear. And like I said, Seabass talked highly of you. I like taking my shots at him, but he seems to be a player's coach.
He
definitely talks about his players a lot. He invests a lot of extra time in chatting with the players and just being there for them when they need to be heard. And he talked highly of you, and me and him were going back and forth. I'm like, let's get this kid on a podcast. he talked really highly of you. So now you're going to Jamestown, and Carlton Place has kind of prepped you. Between your time in the MJ and the CCHL, it's kind of prepped you now to go on to Jamestown. What do you think it's going to be like in terms of the ACHA? Because it's ACHA D1, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you expecting out of that level of play? And who do you think is going to be kind of the opponents you're most excited to face?
Okay, that's a good question. I'm expecting it to be a more similar style to Manitoba, since we have a lot of, like, Jamestown has 90% of the roster is Western Canadian boys. So I'm assuming
that.
Yeah, I'm assuming the style of play will be similar to what I played in Manitoba. And I'm probably looking forward to playing, probably Minot and Las Vegas. Just Minot, I have some buddies that play there, and then Las Vegas, because it's Las Vegas.
Yeah, it'd be a good place to go play.
Yeah.
it's a great city. You've been to Vegas.
Division. I'm just trying to sit here and think, which one did the Sun Devils just get? They were just advanced in the D1 league. I got to look that up to sit there and see, because I think if you guys get to go down to Tempe to play a game at the Mullet's got some good ice, man.
Yeah. Well, they have a NCAA D1 team, and then they have the ACHA D1 team as well.
Yeah. So you get to go play, and hey, if you're in Tempe, you give me a shout. I can take you for a bite if the coaches allow you out.
Oh yeah. I've never been to Arizona or Nevada or any of those places. So yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. The one thing I'll tell you is if you're here in the month of November or December, man, like it was funny. I was just at the last Coyotes game against the Oilers and talking to a bunch of guys that were working out in Fort Mac. And I leaned over and I said, so what do you think about coming to a hockey game in your shorts and flip flops? And before he could even say a word, his wife is like, oh, it's great. It's amazing. I'm like, yeah, no doubt, because you're still probably buried in 5 feet of snow out in Fort Mac and heading on over there. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Fort Mac stuff is still buried in snow.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I got to talking to him. I said, okay, so what do you think of this arena? He goes, that's not bad. I said, yeah, it's all right. I said, it's not an NHL arena, but great atmosphere. It was loud and just raucous that night. And, you know, I started talking, to him a bit about, well, you know, what do you think is going to happen here with this team? And then talking to him with the Oilers. It was a fun conversation, but it was alluding to the fact before we jumped onto this podcast, you're heading to an American school, and you're like me, like lots of us grew up on border towns, right? So, you know, you're not that far away from the Dakotas. So, you're going to see a little bit of that bias, because like I was explaining to people with the Coyotes, great, great organization, horrible ownership, and then mismanagement, right? It's a shame that this team's leaving. You know, good to Salt Lake City, good on them. They're inheriting one hell of a good young hockey team.
Yeah.
By the way, just keep up that physicality. They could use a little bit of some physical blue liners on that Coyotes roster here in the next couple of years. So let her on up, bud.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind living in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, or to coming down to Phoenix once you catch a look at it this season. So
yeah,
Yeah, by the way, like, Chris, this is where I get to throw my jab. Like, Arizona Coyotes, how come you're messaging me about season ticket seating for next year? Bunch of clowns.
Oh, they never stop, do they? Oh. So Steve, just pay it. Just pay it.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't take my refund. That guy can put it towards a deposit. I'm sure he's going to remember that in 5 years. So,
dude, I mean, it's – I talked – like, I was wearing my – my Brizzy jersey out. What is today? Monday. Ugh, it's Monday. I was wearing my jersey out Saturday or Sunday. I was going to the store to pick up some groceries. And, you know, I like wearing my jerseys. They create a lot of conversation, good and bad. I got my jersey collection. So I wore my Coyotes jersey out and people were surprisingly cautious, assuming I was a Coyotes fan because I was wearing a Coyotes jersey. I didn't receive a lot of negativity towards it. People were kind of shocked and people were kind of like, well, is Utah going to be a better market? And I'm like, well, okay. I lived in Salt Lake City. I don't know, but apparently the season ticket holders showed up. So, I mean, they were able to book it out pretty quickly. So I'm excited for the opportunity for them to actually show up. And I'm excited for Arizona to get a team back. Cause I mean, let's be honest, Gary Bettman ain't letting that TV market go long-term.
No.
Atlanta and Phoenix are getting teams back. Houston's going to get a team. And then the question mark is.
No, I think it's Portland. I think it's Portland.
Do you think it's Portland?
He's not going to be on the radar. He's got to get more teams close to the border and spread it out a bit, right? So
who else would it be?
Well, it's so
Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of the city over Portland, to be honest with you. Give Portland a shot at it.
Oh, I'm down for Portland 100%. I mean, another West Coast team.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, though, is it's going to be the teams that end up in the East, right? So Portland would be on the West, you know, and then.
Because they're not going to stick. I mean, Houston's got to go in the same division as Dallas because they want that Texas rivalry.
They've got to go East.
Houston's going to be the. Yeah, but Houston's going to have to be the East team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Atlanta and Houston that are going to be in the Eastern Conference. It's just going to have to be that way.
You know what? You shift Dallas. To the Eastern Conference.
Oh, they're not going to go for that. Not a chance. You can try. Yeah. That owner's going to be double guns ablazing on that one. No, not that way.
Dallas can go to the Eastern Conference.
Well, they won't do it to the Coyotes because at this point. But the interesting thing I never thought of with regards to the Coyotes was making the team inactive. Because the one thing that did not make any sense to me is why would
Nashville,
you sell it?
Sorry. Nashville go East. My brain
maybe.
Was nuts there.
Maybe. Yeah.
Nashville That's, go East. No, Nashville will have to go East.
No, they'll have to do it, and Bettman will have to do something to sweep.
Dude, they're close to Columbus. You just
no, I get it. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just like Bettman's got to convince an owner, right? So, the one thing that was stuck in my head about the Coyotes was the financial part of this, right? So, you move the team, you paid $375 million for it, right? So you're going to profit $625 million. So there's no way they're charging the Coyotes, who are an inactive franchise, an expansion fee. So I have a feeling they're going to have to pay the reactivation fee, which I'm going to guess is probably going to be around 250, maybe 400 million, because he does not want to dip all the way back into his pocket again after all of
this.
That's
why they need your season ticket money, Steve.
Yeah, and all the rest of us clowns, right? So that's the only thing that made sense, because it's like, why would you sell a team and then want to pay a $1.5 billion franchise, you know, expansion team? I'm like, that doesn't make sense. So this whole inactivity was the way to get it done. Because now he's got money to develop the arena, you know, and get that whole thing done. And I think it's 1.5 years notice. He's got to have 50% of it done before it's awarded back. So it's going to happen. The crappy thing for the fans, because when I moved here in 2008, Gretzky was in charge, and not shitting on the great one, but wasn't a great coach. You know,
doesn't make great wine either. Sorry, I live up here. The wine is crap.
But, you know, so when Dave Tippett took over the team, you saw the improvements, right? You saw a good firm structure of the team.
Yeah.
You know, they did well with being owned, you know, by the NHL at the time, making it all the way to the conference finals, right? So that's all I needed was some structure and direction. But then you had, you know, this is why I always laugh about ownerships. If McJesus was drafted to the Coyotes, the Canadian owners never sold. Not a chance. So that one really stung, right? That was one of the ones where you're like, the odds were like 1 in 10 million or something stupid for Edmonton to get the first overall pick, and the Coyotes had way better odds and got pooched out of that one. They could have picked up a better, like, not crapping on Dylan Strome, but I do think there was better players available. I would take a Matthew Barzell and a Mitch Marner over.
Was Kyle Connor in that one?
Probably, man. It was pretty stacked, and they wanted a bigger – like, it's always what drives me nuts about the bigger body, okay? Defense, yeah. I get, except when you take a look at a young guy like Makar or Lane Hudson and the Habs picked up. You can't deny talent and speed like yeah. that. Just yeah. can't do it. So didn't love that draft pick, but then you go down to, you know, we get the other GM who gives away a draft pick going after Taylor Hall, and I went, oh, no. And then all those draft picks, we had picked up tanks. So we just got back to the point of being a fun hockey team to watch. We suffered. And now that good product is on its way to Salt Lake City. That burns. That's the only part about this that burns is we just finally this year, I was like, they've got some good foundational players there. They got some big boys like that big Lamoureux coming out of Quebec. That's a big boy. I think he's 6'7". You know, so that's a good big boy on the blue line there for them coming up in the next couple of years.
It's going to be fun to see that first overall pick fall to Salt Lake City because
the NHL that's going to happen. It's going to happen because the Coyotes never had one in their whole history. So watch Salt Lake gets they get Celebrini and then they go make a splash in free agency. They grab Stamkos, they grab Reinhardt off of the Panthers, and watch out. And they go get some good defensemen too, right? Watch out.
They go ahead and take a Stanley Cup while our Buffalo Sabres, you know, tear stained eyes.
With Lindy Ruff again. Lindy Ruffing it, boys.
I'm all for Lindy Ruff. Like I said, the coaches they could have picked up, like Lindy Ruff is going to draw excitement into the city. I know we were talking about this before the podcast, and we're like, okay, let's just start a podcast. And so I'm excited for it because they need to generate some excitement about this. I'll call it what it is, a shitty period of time in Buffalo Sabres hockey. I mean, the most embarrassing run in NHL history, and we're approaching sports history. They've got to make it back into the playoffs, and they weren't generating. And you know what? The Pegula's got to make some money back, I guess, you know, because I know it hurt his bank account a little bit because I think he's only worth $5 billion. So he could have been worth almost six if he'd have played his cards right. So I know they're probably hurting, and they probably have to give up one of their mega yachts somewhere. But when it comes down to it, the Buffalo Sabres fan base was dedicated to this team this whole time. And I think around the 10-year mark of missing the playoffs is when the Sabres fans were like, and obviously that helped with COVID, we're just done. Give us something to celebrate. I mean, the most embarrassing moment in Sabres history was against the Coyotes when the Coyotes scored on the Sabres to basically secure that we were dead last. And that was this was in Buffalo, and the Buffalo Sabres fans cheered like it was a Sabres goal because, oh, we're going to get like one of the great ones. That's the crap that Sabres fans were excited because they thought, oh, we'll be the next Chicago, we'll be the next Pittsburgh.
Hey, Garrett, did you notice the soul leave his ginger body a little bit more there just as he said that?
Ginger beard, brother, ginger beard. This is my Irish.
That's all we see right now. We see you lean back and we just see the ginger beard.
Does it help that I'm wearing that like Utah Grizzlies?
I look like a leprechaun.
Yeah, I look like a leprechaun. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Honestly, the Grizzlies could have done better with the sweater during COVID. I did the whole support the small organizations, and like we all did during COVID, we specifically ordered from restaurants and stuff to just keep them in business. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, obviously, and hockey teams weren't immune to that. So when the Grizzlies put out their what is this, the 25th anniversary? This is like their IHL thing. I ordered a Jamie McLennan, Steve. This is nice. A Jamie McLennan Grizzlies sweater. They could have done better on the quality. This thing's pretty brutal. I won't wear it outside.
He's one of the more tolerable guys on TSN. The rest, I don't even want to talk about. So, Garen, right now, if the Boston Bruins weren't an option for you, you know, to pick up, you know, in an NHL draft, what teams would you like to see give you a nod if you're making the NHL draft? What are you looking at?
Probably Dallas, probably somewhere warm.
Speaking Steve's language.
Yeah, because Chris and I have had this debate, but we'll keep going. So Dallas, who else would you look at?
Florida, Tampa, LA, anywhere where it doesn't get in the minuses.
Yeah. So now it brings us up to the conversation, because Chris and I always have this great debate. So before I moved to Arizona, I would never have said, you know, it would have been my first destination for hockey. And now with the Sun Devils running a good program, U of A is starting to develop. The loss of the Coyotes is going to sting a bit on that. But I think ASU's got enough momentum right now.
Yeah.
Where it's not going to hurt as much, but the other ones, it's going to sting a bit. But when I got here and I went to my first NHL game, again, in flip-flops and shorts, you know, with a hockey jersey over my shoulder, I went, this is a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And then looking at ASU, watching the team get better and better, I went, God, you know, I couldn't imagine being, you know, 19 years old or 18 and heading on over to Phoenix in October. You know, and then like October can be a little hot, but it cools down at night. But I couldn't imagine, like, bag on my shoulder, stick in my hands, pads over one shoulder, going, oh man, this is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be like I said, when you're here playing a game, you just let me know. I'll take you out for a bite, but then we'll talk again and we'll bag on Chris. Chris would rather go to Minnesota and freeze his nads off.
Oh yeah,
nothing wrong with Minnesota. I like Minnesota.
Put me up in Canada, put me up in Vancouver, put me up someplace where it's cold. If I go outside and I run hot, so if I go outside and legally you're not allowed to take off more clothes, so I'm always good with putting something more on. So I need to play in a place that's cold. That's why, I mean, Steve, I mean, I've lived in North Dakota, I grew up in Buffalo, but I've lived in England and in Denmark, and I've chosen Vancouver Island. If it's not cold, I don't want to live there.
No mugging is here, but heat we're already getting right now. So that's it, Garen. You come here, you stick around. You'll suffer a little bit in September when school's kicking back in. But then, like I said, as soon as it's late October, you're loving life. December, you're like, oh, this is a thing of beauty. January, same thing. You see the snow squalls up north, and we're laughing back here going, whatever. You know, the coldest it gets Celsius, it may hit zero, close to it. You may get a little sprinkle, but it's gone within 20 seconds, and we're right back at it again. So,
yeah, I was going to say, like, a month of suffering and hot is better than suffering for 6 months in the freezing cold.
Yeah, I disagree.
like I said, well, I'll get the selfie, and I'll get you to say it to Chris. Hey, bud, I tell you, you're wrong.
I like the cold. Different strokes for different folks, man. Different strokes for different folks.
I want to get to Garen a little bit more about this, because, you know, what's always refreshing, you know, for me is talking to guys that are thinking beyond hockey, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you had a mind, you had something in mind for you to go to college, right? So if it wasn't for your program, you wouldn't be going to North Dakota, right? So. Yeah. So if hockey doesn't pan out for you, what's your focus in life?
I'm going to be in the agricultural field in some type of way. I'm not sure yet whether it's an agronomist, or I'm going to go into like seed sales or seed buying or chemical sales or chemical buying. That's what this summer is for, and the next 4 years of college are for me to figure out what I want to do inside the agricultural field.
All right, and let's just say, all right, all of a sudden, you're put on the radar from the end. The end's looking at you, right? And they make you an offer to sign. Would you stop going to school and go jump in the end and give it a shot, or would you try to ride it out?
Into what league?
The NHL. Let's just say.
I'd 100% ride it out.
All right, so let's just say NHL signs you, but they're going to send you to the Providence Bruins. All right, you got one of your wishes. So are you going to stop school and go to Providence and report, or you got that little bit in the back of your mind where you want to finish school? Well, how would you play it?
I'd probably go to Providence. Like, I can go back to school anytime I want. So,
all right,
still want a career sometime after hockey, but yeah, I can play while I can, you know.
No, that makes sense. Just checking, because I know some guys want to hang on and finish college before they go report, right? And
yep.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all, because, you know, it goes one bad injury and that can be the end of it for you, right? So yeah. Or one bad year and you're struggling and trying to get your way back in. So if you got a good offer to go overseas, would you go do that?
Yeah, I definitely consider it. It's a lot to think about, obviously. But yeah, 100% consider it. I've never been over there, but I'd love to go over there, no matter really where it is, Sweden, Switzerland, Germany, anywhere.
Yeah, they can always use a big bruiser on the blue line, especially one that knows the little dirty sea bass tricks now.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you can follow
on. I'm a Red Hawks. Yeah. Like I was going to say, like, you saw me leaning in a couple times there, but yeah, like even the Malmo Red Hawks there, because that's for me, the closest SHL team to where I was living in Copenhagen, because it was only a 30-minute train ride out over the bridge. I call it, well, I nicknamed it personally the Death Bridge, because anything that long and over that large of body of water just felt like I was dying personally. That was a new fear unlocked living in Europe, but
yeah.
You know, and plus if it got super windy, you couldn't cross and you were trapped. That happened once leaving Ohns. Actually, we're leaving Berlin for back in Copenhagen, and the weather, some hurricane or I don't know what does the East Coast of Europe have that's not considered a hurricane? It's not a tropical storm. Oh, it's still a hurricane?
Well, the East Coast, they'll call them that, but they call them typhoons. It just depends on where you're geographically located and what they're going to call it. Because I thought I heard something about monsoon storms, you know, somewhere close to England. If I was not mistaken, they would call some of the inland ones monsoon. So not too sure about that. But
One of those storms hit the Netherlands, and obviously that got up to us, and the winds were too strong to cover to cross the bridge from Ohns to back onto, I would say mainland, but that is mainland Denmark for the islands to hop to Sweden. But we got trapped there because it wasn't safe to cross, and I won't even talk about the story the next day, but that train was rocking on that bridge and I wasn't that comfortable. But Malmo would be a place I would definitely target. You got a bunch of great places to play up there in the SHL as well as around Europe, because France, Germany, lots of great places. I think any listener should listen in on this too. And for any of those thinking about going to school, because I do have a lot of you listeners reach out. So, Garen, you can listen to this advice while some of those other listeners and parents consider options for their sons or daughters to play elsewhere outside of North America. I will just say school is cheaper if you go to Europe. And a lot of times it's free, depending on the country you're going to. And there's still an option to play hockey over there and get noticed. So just do your research. A lot of you out there, before you make a final decision, as I'm chatting with several of you on your options in Australia and Europe and elsewhere. There's a lot of great options. And for those that choose to stay in North America, you got great options up in Canada as much as you do in the U.S. So just consider all your options. And so you're going through with the agricultural type programs there in University of Jamestown. You're going to be on the blue line for them. In terms of national championships and national championship runs, have you been watching kind of the heading into the ACHA this year? Were you kind of following the ACHA national championship runs for D1?
Yeah, I was definitely following it the last couple of years, this year especially, and then the year before that. I've always had buddies playing in Minot, and I've had a couple in Jamestown as well, but kind of just keeping up with them. And I've kept up with ACHA D1 more than NCAA D1 or D3. And yeah, I've definitely kept up a little bit with it, yeah.
So what do you consider to be the strengths in your game?
I'd say probably like my defensive ability. Like I'd say I'm a pretty well positioned guy in the defensive zone. Like whether I'm physical in the corners or boxing out in front of the net or making a first pass or being hard to play against in the corners, I'd say my defensive game is my strongest part of my game.
All right. So are you the type of guy that can be the anchor back there with an offensive defenseman to give him a little bit more room to go because you can anchor it back there? Like you can see yourself more like a stay at home defenseman?
Yeah, that's exactly how I'd put it. Like, if I get paired up with a extremely offensive guy, if he wants to go up, he'll know I'm there to cover for him. And yeah, that's bang on. Yep.
All right. So the most important question: do you shove the offensive team on top of your goalie?
Not on top of them, though. I tried to reposition myself, push him to the side.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Because you'll never hear me bitch more, because I'll watch a game and I'll watch a guy come right on up and just nail the guy into his keeper. And yeah, half the time when it happens, like, you're sprawled out in some stupid position on the ice trying to cover the puck, and then you've got two behemoths coming down on you.
Yeah.
And the worst part is when the defenseman gets up like he did something. I'm like, dude, horse collar, pull back. Give him the shot from the side.
No, yeah, I've definitely been guilty of pushing a couple guys into the goalie probably, but.
All right. Probably we forgive apologize. You once or twice, all right? So going forward, horse collar, okay? Drop that guy.
Yeah.
All right, so two quick send-off questions, one being not hockey related at all and the other one being completely hockey related. The non-hockey related question is, spending that, you know, a couple months in Carlton Place, where did you fancy eating?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because I went from way to Capital, which had, it's, if you Google it, it's nothing really. It's like a small reserve and then a bunch of little communities surrounding it. We had like a Subway and an A&W, that was it. So then we went, I got traded to Carlton Place, and it was like, whatever you want to eat, it's there. My favorite
place. But you didn't have a specific favorite place?
In Carlton Place? Yeah. Probably. Oh man, that's tough. There's this one restaurant, Fratelli's. I don't know if it's a chain or not. It was a pretty nice Italian restaurant. They're also, well, I don't even remember what it was called. There's a type of food. I think it's an Arabic food.
Oh, it's shawarma and shishtok.
Shawarma. Yeah, shawarma's big out there. I've never had it before.
But oh, it's huge. Huge, yeah. Lebanese population.
Is that the one across from the LCBO?
The shawarma? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the exact shawarma place, yeah.
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 There's a couple other stores around there, too. But
yeah.
Sorry, you can credit Jenny for all that. Jenny giving you the Carlton Place experience.
Yeah. The shawarma was pretty good there. Never had it before.
The actual hockey question then is, the NHL's in its playoffs. Did you do the bracket challenge?
I did one, yeah. Who did I have? I had.
Yeah, who'd you pick?
So I think I had the Rangers winning it.
Okay.
I think I had the Rangers winning it. I had the Jets losing to Vegas in the second round, I think. I'm trying to remember all the players, all the teams here I was going.
Well, what screwed it all up was the Golden Knights losing and then going up against the Stars.
Yeah. I had the Golden Knights beating the Stars, and that sucks.
Same as Boston, though. Like, Boston, if they would have won their last game against Ottawa, they wouldn't have been playing the Leafs. Is that right?
Well, I mean, it's basically first round get pass guaranteed for Boston then.
Yeah, that's automatic. I think, what was the score here?
I think it was 4-1 or 5-1.
5-1. I think it was 5-1.
Yeah, well, yeah,
they don't stop talking about it on TSN, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, TSN's going over it. Remember, they took a good schlacking against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think it was 7-4, something like that, last year in the first round, game one. The Leafs got firepower, but the truth is Nylander's the one that generates a lot, and he's questionable.
Yeah, what is up with that?
I don't know. Like, they won't disclose anything, right? Yeah. So, like, any NHL player knows when you're off and you're hurting, they'll have an idea, and they're going to target him. Like, they're going to go after him. Because the only problem the Leafs have is, and I agree with this, is that – the Bruins have been built solid and tough for the past, 10 years now? They've just been maybe longer, because like time's flying by, but I'd say 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Just a good, solid physical team for, you know, X amount of years. The Leafs weren't built that way, and they're trying to play that way. Like, Domi's doing too much.
Reeves,
Reeves, like he's a big boy, but he's not a playoff player. Like, if he's in your lineup, it's not going to help you. They got to play Toronto style to win. And without Nylander, I don't think they're going to do too well. The big one I'm watching tonight, though, is Dallas Vegas. That's the one that I want to watch.
To be honest, I'm not even sold on Dallas.
Really?
I had Vegas beating Dallas.
Vegas taking out Dallas.
Yeah.
I have Dallas
7-game series, Vegas winning.
It's going to be a long series, yeah.
Well, if you didn't have the Golden Cheaters going 25 million over, be a heck of a different story, right? Because Dallas played a good physical, solid. Like, I think they were the I know they didn't win the President's Trophy, but they were the biggest pain in the ass team to play against all year long. You know, they have good depth. They're physical. They've got a bunch of players that can pot the puck in the net. If Ottinger's on his game, watch out, because I give them the edge on goaltending.
Yeah, that is a thing too. I think Ottinger is one of the best goalies in the league right now.
Yep. Yeah, he's come on and he's consistent. Like, you know, good on him, you know, because that one came out of, you know, you have scouts that will say, like, I picked it, but he came out of left field, and man, he's been solid. And that's the thing about the Stars. It pains me to say it, you know, because they were rival of the Coyotes, but they're going to be built for a deep run. So this is the only thing, is when you have two Titans clashing in the first round, right? It's going to be a pretty harsh battle because there's still bad blood from last year's playoffs. And I think the Dallas Stars run out of gas. I don't see them running out of gas this year. So I think that's going to be one of the bigger matchups to really watch. That one's a pretty heavyweight tilt going on early on.
Yeah, I think Dallas has a lot of blood boiling right now over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and just, you know, when they made it to the Cup Finals a couple of years ago,
they ran out
of tank. Like, actually, talking about Winnipeg, when they made it to the Conference Finals, you know, I ran into their coach because he's a good Sault Ste. Marie boy. And I ran into him at the Dallas Draft of all places. And I said, "Hey, coach," said, "that was a hell of a run. You guys did well." You could just see the expression on his face. You could see the pain, you know, and just like exhaustion, because we just ran out of gas. I'm like, I know, like, you could see
that
it.
That was a good team.
You guys had emptied the tank the series before. You know, had they had fresh legs, I think they would have went further. But you could just see it. He's like, we were feeling it, but it just wasn't there anymore. The boys couldn't give any more. But I was like, that was a fun run. I'd like to see them repeat that and get – it might be nice to see a Canadian team get in the finals, except for the Leafs. I'll throw that out there.
I have that picked. So, at least for the East Coast, I have the one Canadian team just being completely, you know, taken out by the typical – I mean, it's pretty predictable at this point. Boston's going to take Toronto out. But I have two Canadian teams going to the conference finals in the West.
Now you got the Canucks versus the Jets.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I actually picked the Winnipeg Jets to push through and lose to the Florida Panthers in the finals.
Oh, wow. So can we both pick Winnipeg to suffer? I picked Winnipeg to lose to Carolina.
Oh, look, like, I hope I'm wrong. Like, I really hope I'm wrong.
I don't want it. But that's
Florida is just so well-rounded. Bobrovsky is on fire. He hasn't calmed down. I think, like, people were talking Tampa was going to run right over the Panthers. Didn't happen. The Panthers controlled them pretty well last game. So they're scared.
I think what's going to happen is that, again, this is from somebody who just watches junior hockey, so feel free to correct me, but I'm just watching from my very limited NHL knowledge at this point. But, yeah, Florida's going to advance. I think Boston will advance. And with my picks, Boston and Florida play each other. And I think Boston's going to want retribution for – the utter embarrassment they faced last year, which was well-deserved because I hate Boston. No offense, Karen. And I think Boston's going to take that series. But then I think that's when they run out of juice and Carolina's just going to keep going. And God help me. I hope I'm wrong. I definitely, as a Sabres fan, do not want to see Carolina win anything. But I think Carolina, I think a lot of, again, I know a bunch of Leafs fans too, and they're like, oh, we'll wait for, you know, playoff Frederick Anderson to show up. I'm like, no, that's just Leafs. You can blame Frederick Anderson all you want, but it doesn't matter who you've had in net for the last, 50 years? You guys still bounce out. So it isn't Frederick Anderson. And I'm going to stand by my Danish boy right there. So I'm saying Carolina's going to run to the cup, and they're going to – it's probably going to be like a six-game series against Winnipeg. But I think – honestly, I hope I'm wrong. I'm rooting for Florida. I'm that guy, and or my Caps, but the Caps aren't going to beat the Rangers.
Yeah, good luck.
buddy, if you're doing anything with the Caps right now, put down that crack pipe and.
Yeah.
I love my Caps, but we ain't beating the Rangers.
Oh, the Caps! So. Look, the Caps, the Penguins, all the teams that were on the cusp with the older players. You're hanging on for too long. You got to trade them. Because you're just hurting your team every year. The Caps, it doesn't matter. Like, they're running on Charlie Lindgren having a great regular season, and he looked average last game. So, and that's just for me watching the highlights and hearing people talk. Like, you know, I never wish any ill will on attendee. He's got to be just lights out, impossible to beat. So, and the Carolina Hurricanes have had that fast pace, you know, play. I just see them getting worn down.
Truthfully, a lot of the Carolina Hurricanes were ex-Washington Capitals. So it's like the place where Capitals go to die.
What's that?
I like Carolina. I think they've got a really good team there.
Oh, no, they've got a solid team. I just don't see the physicality. I think that's the problem. They're going to run into teams that are going to wear them down again, and that's going to be the issue. Like, you know, you just know how playoff hockey is. Get them into a corner, you know, and grind those guys down. Like, you got to get a body on Aho. You got to get on Svechnikov. You've got to just wear them right down. And I just don't think they've got the physicality to put up with that. And so one thing with Florida hits the crap out of you too. Boston's going to grind you down. The Rangers got physicality to their game, right? Like, who picked Rempe to score the opening goal?
Yeah.
I mean, freaking sniper. That was a pretty goal too. That was great.
He's built for the playoffs.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of playoff hockey. I don't see any upsets in the first round. Like, the way I think I picked it, it's the way it's going to play out. The first round, the only one that you guys are questioning out of this one is the Dallas one. So we'll see tonight. It'll be a good eye opener. But the one thing I'll say about this, Garen, is the teams that I think always have the most success are the teams that have been together longer. Now, the magic behind the Vegas Golden Knights was the fact that you had a lot of second and third, you know, depth players, you know, line players on those teams. So when they came together, they were used to mixing it up a bit, right? Like any night they could have been on the first line had they been playing well, then they could drop back down. So they were used to that type of stuff. And then a lot of teams gave up on players. Like, look at Marchessault. Look at Riley Smith at one point, right? Like, he played a huge impact on that team last year. This year, they just made a bunch of new additions to a roster.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how that chemistry really works out. So I think that may be the one thing. Because how many times have we seen a big name get traded in the playoffs, go to a team, and minimal impact?
Yep.
So we'll see.
Every year, pretty much.
Yeah. The only one, like, one of the ones I think were, and again, it was, like, for me, was the Antoine Vermette trade from the Coyotes over to the Blackhawks. And when I went there, I went, oh, they're getting a good all-around player, right? He could play defensive. He could penalty kill. He could be on the power play. It took him until the second round of the playoffs, and then he took off. He was one of the bigger reasons why they got that depth to get that cup. You know, and good for him. He was a great guy, too. Like, a lot of good guys went through that Coyotes organization, but. Yeah, I'll be looking forward. I'll add you on Twitter X and the other stuff so we can keep tabs over the playoffs here. We can see who's going far.
Yeah, perfect.
Right, and that way too. When you're here in Arizona, I'll hit you on up, and then like you just tell me when your schedule comes up, and then I'll as long as I'm not away in my daughter's soccer tournament, then we'll be all good. Hey, Chris, congratulations on the balloons. Happy birthday.
Where the hell those come from? All of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck's happening? Anyway, that's probably a great place to wrap this up before. I don't know if that was a signal for StreamYard to tell me to shut up or whatever. But did somebody hit something?
No, my hands haven't been near there. I got to see which word I just used to trigger that other than me following Garen on social media. Maybe that's why the balloons went off.
Did somebody say birthday? No. Nope. Celebration, graduation, balloons. I don't know how that happened. That was weird, but that's probably a good place to wrap this up. So again, want to thank special guest defender for the Carlton Place Canadiens, Garen Apperly, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Loved it.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. And we also want to thank all of you listeners for tuning in. Make sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date. This is the Pigeon Hockey Podcast with Chris and Steve.
Have a great one, hockey fans.
And remember, listeners, always clear your crease.